There has been tremendous excitement lately about my guest today, Colin Baker, who played the sixth incarnation of the Doctor in the BBC series Doctor Who. That was from 1984 to 1986. He's here in Atlanta for Wholanta, an annual sci-fi convention all about Doctor Who and British pop culture. Colin, welcome to City Lights.
How very kind of you to invite me. It's
Oh,
lovely to be here.
well, it was interesting to learn that you actually began as a law student.
Yeah, I was allegedly a lawyer for a few years, yes.
That too.
When I was 18 years old, my father said to me, "What do you want to do?" I said, "I'd like to go to Oxford or Cambridge, Daddy. And while I'm there, I'd like to study modern languages, and I would like to join OUDS, which is the Undergraduate Drama Society, or Footlights, which is the Cambridge version,
Yes.
and with the idea of possibly becoming an actor one day." And there was the briefest of pauses, and he said, "You start in the lawyer's office on Monday,"
Okay.
which is what I did, because 18-year-olds back in prehistory used to do what their fathers told them. So I did my 5 years of law, which I've never regretted because I learnt more about human nature and the way humans behave to each other and how they are prepared to pay large sums of money to make sure that they get their way rather than anybody else's, which is what lawyers enable. Controversial, eh? And my poor old dad had a heart attack and a stroke at the age of 50, and I thought, is that all there is? No, I'm going to do what I want to do. So I threw everything in the air and went off to be an actor, just like that.
Well, certainly your fans are glad that you followed your heart. When you first saw Doctor Who, your very first episode, is that when you knew right away that you wanted to be in that series one day?
Not in the dimmest backwaters of my imagination. I was a law student at that point. I was at the College of Law in London. I came back to my flat, which I shared with several other students. And as the first episode started, which, I mean, we all remember the date because it was the day after Kennedy was assassinated,
1963.
23rd of November, 1963. And I entered the door as the program started, and I hadn't moved when it finished. I was riveted because even though we look at it now and think it's, you know, terrible creaky old sets and black and white pictures, it looks antediluvian. But nonetheless, that it was state of the art in 1963. And if you'd said to me that a few decades from now that'll be you, I'd have frankly had you committed,
Well, how did you break into television?
the decision to become an actor came later, of course. I was lucky. Any actor who tells you otherwise, if they have success, is deceiving you or themselves, because I know a lot of very, very, very talented actors who never get that break. And I was lucky. On two occasions, a decade before, I did a series which was hugely popular in Britain called The Brothers. And then a decade later, I was asked to play a subsidiary part in an episode of Doctor Who with what turned out to be my predecessor, Peter Davison. And because of doing that, even though they'd never cast a new Doctor from someone who'd been in the program before, I met the producer and he and I got on very well. And he liked my particular style of over-the-top acting. In fact, I was.
Subtlety is overrated.
It is, isn't it?
I think
Yes.
so. So is
We've
moderation.
built careers on that, haven't we?
Yes.
And John asked me to play the part. I didn't even have to audition for it.
But didn't you actually kill Doctor Who or try to
Well,
kill
I
him?
shot him and he wouldn't die, the swine. It was in the script, I hasten to add. I was the head of security on Gallifrey, which is the home planet of the Time Lords, of which The Doctor is one. And yes, I had a great dislike for the Doctor and shot him. But he survived. But not long enough to avoid being replaced by me.
The BBC has changed dramatically since you started, both in terms of production and as a business. And I know there was so much controversy when the Television Centre moved, changed, they sold it off. How do you feel about that?
It's like the Vandals and the Visigoths have descended on London, in my opinion. And at the back of my mind, there's this certainty that 15 years from now, somebody will say, I've got a great idea. Let's move BBC production to London. Because they've got this regional bug that we have to be seen to be regional, to cater for all the areas of this huge country called Great Britain. And so most of the production now is in Manchester. But 20 years from now, someone will say, actually, all the people who work here are going home to London every night. Why don't we move to London? And then it'll be too late, because the Television Centre will have gone. I mean, the bits are left because it's a listed building. But I was lucky enough to work there in the 60s and 70s when it was astonishing, because every floor was crammed with creative people. The writers were there, all the people making the props were there, the directors were there, the actors were there. Now it's fragmented and it's all gone. Well, everything is produced out of house and then bought in now.
Which must have a lot to do with expense, no doubt.
Yeah, yes, but they've got a lot more money now to spend on programmes. I mean, I suppose I'd have been better off now, because it's a bit like the footballers of my childhood, who could have been the best footballer in England and weren't earning much more than a man in a factory. Now footballers earn an awful lot more. Same with actors. The actors of my day, we earned a decent living, but the Doctor Who's now are having Securicore take their weekly salary home for them each night.
Oh, goodness. Well...
Not that I'm bitter, you understand.
No,
in any way.
Not. Of course not. But, you know, there is a lot to be said for tradition and having been part of this marvelous series relatively early on. I guess you were all, I mean, it was already 20 years old joined. Your big breakout, you mentioned the brothers, your big breakout role was Paul Meroni.
Yes, it was. Paul Meroni, who was I was voted the most hated man in Britain in 1973-4 by the readers of one of those red top papers we have in Britain.
That is how convincing a villain you are.
I guess that's the... Yes, it's a kind of compliment, isn't it? But I was attacked by old ladies with umbrellas. And,
and there are a lot of umbrellas in
London. And there's a lot of old ladies, too. So I suffered quite a lot of abuse. But I suppose that was a yardstick of the fact that I was doing the job reasonably well. I was the character I was playing was a kind of prototype J.R., like J.R. Ewing.
Yes. And
but before J.R., I got in first. And the only difference was my character was scrupulously honest. He never told a lie. No, he did tell lies, but he never broke the law. So nobody could ever nail him for anything.
Well, it wasn't Texas, for goodness sake. I mean, you were in London.
No, it was
far
London,
too civilized
yes.
for that. Helen Mirren was your co-star, was she not?
Not in that.
Not in that.
No, but I did a classic series called Cousin Bet.
That was Cousin
based
Bet.
Based on Balzac's novel. And it was Helen's first television. And she and I had a bed scene together.
Oh, my.
Way back in 71, something like that. And it was hell.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Are you still in touch with her?
No, alas. No, I'm not. I was much more nervous than she was.
Well, everyone is curious to hear about your inhabiting the role of Doctor Who. And I wonder if you could talk about what you, why you think the Doctor has had such longevity, and what the role meant to you.
Well, I mean, the role meant a lot to me. I mean, I remember the first thing that a member of my family, I don't know which one, said, "My goodness, that means that when you die, it'll be on the news."
Oh, goodness.
Which is a kind of a bleak way of measuring someone's success, but it's actually true. I mean, that's what it meant in terms of the difference in my life, that I was no longer a jobbing actor.
Yes.
I would be one of the, well, at that point, six actors who had played Doctor Who. So it was quite something. And I suppose if we could work out why Doctor Who has been successful, we could all make a fortune, because we could do it again. A lot of it is about timing.
Time travel.
And time travel, very good, yes. We have always wanted heroes. We've always wanted someone who can ride out of the mist, solve your problems, and then ride off again, crying "Hi-ho, Silver," or "Geronimo," or whatever they're crying. Someone that helps us to escape from a world that not everyone finds agreeable all the time. And over the centuries, most of the great stories that have been told have been about people like that. So at that particular time in the television history of Britain, that was a character that caught on. It started off with the grumpy old William Hartnell character, the old father who was able to travel through time and space and make things better. Mm. And each doctor over the years has adapted to their time. I mean, my ludicrous coat that I wore and my behaviour.
I love the description. The British use the word lurid for what we would describe as bright.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yes, because you Americans are so subdued, aren't
We're
you?
We're so gentle.
Yes.
And here you call it lurid. well, it was.
Yeah, it was.
Quite colourful.
But that was the 80s, and that was a very 80s... a vibe about it.
Yes.
Now we've got dear Peter Capaldi playing the part, who's wearing clothes that are acceptable in this era, even though they are particular and different. They have a kind of elegance that we like today. And each doctor has fitted in quite neatly with the era in which he played the part.
If you're just joining us, my guest is the wonderful actor Colin Baker, best known for playing the sixth incarnation of the Doctor in the BBC series Doctor Who. We'll be back after a short break on City Lights. This is City Lights on WABE Atlanta. I'm Lois Reitz, is here with actor Colin Baker in town for the Wholanta convention because of his association with the BBC series Doctor Who. We're going to listen to a clip, and this scene takes place after the Doctor has regenerated into the sixth incarnation, played by you, Colin Baker. Let's give it a listen. You can tell us more.
Did you have to be so rude?
To whom?
Hugo. You could at least have said goodbye. Are you having another of your fits?
You may not believe this, but I have fully stabilized.
Then I suggest you take a crash course in manners.
You seem to forget, Perry. I'm not only from another culture, but another planet. I am, in your terms, an alien. I'm therefore bound to have different values and customs.
Your former self was polite enough.
It was such a cost. I was on the verge of becoming neurotic.
We all have to repress our feelings from time to time. I suggest you get back into the habit.
And I would suggest, Perry, that you wait a little before criticizing my new persona. You may well find it isn't quite as disagreeable as you think.
Well, I hope so.
Whatever else happens, I am the Doctor, whether you like it or not.
I think a lot of people liked it. What's it like for you to listen back to that?
I haven't heard that for a long while. And I've never noticed before, but when she said, I think you should get back in the habit, I thought I wasn't a nun. Didn't notice it the first time round.
Colin, you mentioned how we all need our heroes and we love escapism, but what unique message does Doctor Who, and particularly its lead character, offer viewers, offer to the world?
Big question. I suppose the answer can be summed up in something that one of my successors said in a story that was called The Doctor Dances. And it was Christopher Eccleston, who was the first Doctor when the programme came back. And at the end of this extraordinary story, where all kinds of mayhem happened, he said one line, which was, and I'm paraphrasing it because I can't remember it exactly, and the good thing is, everybody lives. Because in that particular story, even the apparent demises were not actual. And I suppose that's what he's striving for, a time when everybody lives. It's very impractical, because the world will become overpopulated very quickly. but as a basic ideal for someone who's trying to combat evil, maximising survival rates of the victims must be a good thing.
But
it's about heroism. Whatever we wrap up in the word hero is what we expect the Doctor to deliver. And of course he can't do it all the time, but that's what he should be aiming for.
Mm. Well, it really has been a pleasure talking with you, and I know that Atlanta's very proud of its own Doctor Who convention being rated among the top five by no less than The Guardian.
The Guardian newspaper in Britain has said this is one of the top five, which is phenomenal, and I've only learned that today, and it's quite right too. I've been to the convention in Atlanta before, and I have to say that the people running it, and I'm sparing their blushes, not a drop, two of them are sitting in this room with us now, are the best, kindest, nicest people to work for, and they genuinely care about the fans. And I know there are some events out there which are more business-driven, where caring for the fans is a business decision, not a heart decision, whereas these guys, it's the heart. Oh. That's where it starts. And if they cover their costs, I know they're happy. and they don't always do that, people running conventions. They do it because they love it. And sci-fi and fantasy has moved from being a fringe activity, slightly derided by parts of the population, into mainstream, thanks to all the Marvel activity and the films and everything. Now we realise that flights of imagination and fancy are things that we can get benefit from.
Especially considering reality at the moment.
Absolutely right. What a superb note to end on.
Colin Baker, it has been such a privilege to talk with you. Colin played the sixth incarnation of the Doctor in the BBC series Doctor Who. He's appearing at the annual Wholanta convention this weekend and will be joined by Nicola Bryant.
My companion.
Yes, Perry Brown. We'll post this interview along with more information at wabe.org/citylights. Get back in that police box now.
and keep that city lit up.
Thank you.